This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Oh, it's working now, yeah. Mashallah, yeah, it's fine. Just needed a special touch. Shabab. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man da'a bi da'watihi ila yawm al-deen amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses us in that we are one in one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa hiya, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا, that the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the masajid. And these are the places where we establish the core of our ibadah, the core of our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a great honor, and I'm very happy to be here with you. I was just here maybe just over a week ago, the Jumu'ah Khutbah with the charity One Ummah. And it was a very pleasant and nice experience for me to see you last week, and mashallah to see you just another week later. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that I have the opportunity to see you again after this. Allahumma Ameen. So as was, if you like, advertised or made known, that we would like to go through Surah Al-Duha. And this is, like all surahs and all chapters of the Qur'an, an amazing chapter. And each of them uniquely amazing. But before I go straight into the chapter itself, there's, if you like, a backdrop. And I want to make a few things clear to give some context to that which will help us give a deeper understanding with regards to this particular chapter. Now we know that Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran as hidayatul linnas, as a source of guidance for mankind, and that it is a shifa'ul lima fi sudur, and that it is a cure for that what is in the hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Quran in many ways. Now we as human beings are, on the one hand, a very simple creation. What is required from us is something very simple, is to fulfill the ultimate commandment, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, I did not create jinn or mankind except to worship Him alone. This is our ultimate objective. And that is very simple for us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that He will test us, and that we will go through a number of trials. For what reason? أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, who is the best in action? Who is the best in response? Who is the one that will turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when we say, because I'm sure you hear these comments and phrases very often, turn back to Allah. What does that mean? What's the reality of turning back to Allah? Okay, maybe I'm engaged in sin. That means let off the sin. And maybe make istighfar. That's maybe, if you like, a start in me understanding what it means to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To turn away from that what is haram and to go back to what Allah azza wa jal obligated upon me. Okay, then that's a fine understanding. That's a good understanding for us to have. But at times, situations for people, it's not always clear for them to understand that. Because a person who isn't going through such a tough time, you know, our emotions, if you like, if you can imagine, there's this screen. And as if you've seen like heartbeats, it's fairly consistent across the screen, right? It goes up and it goes down, up and down. It's consistent. Now, if you can imagine us also, if you could find something which would measure a person's emotions throughout the day, and that you would find that, again, there's up and it goes down and it goes up and it's down. there are some high points and then there are some low points. And when those low points are a little bit low, because we know for sure the high points, they don't always last forever. They are for a little while and then you come down a little bit. And then when there are low points, inshallah ta'ala, those low points don't last forever. And then they come back again. You have a mechanism within you. There's something within you that if you start to feel a little bit sad or you start to feel a little bit down, that you will do something which will make you feel better. So then therefore your mood, it goes up again. So you have some form of a mechanism or some kind of plan within yourself to do things which make you happy and to protect yourself from harm. And this is what happens every single day. You may not think about it, but this is something that you're doing every single day. Now, there are certain people, and this is something, you know, as Muslims, that traditionally I can say, because we say, yes, we have Quran, and yes, we have Sunnah, and we have so many things, that there are certain things that Muslims, we're protected from. Allah protects us from those things. A Muslim would never do that, or a Muslim would never fall into that, or a Muslim would never be afflicted by such a thing. So if I was to mention to you about the different issues concerning namaz and salah, most of us know what that's all about, and fasting, we know that what it's all about. Maybe good dealings with one another, how to be grateful, how to be thankful, how to, you know, not be ungrateful, how to say shukr, how to say thank you. And this is what we teach our children. But if you start talking about the topic, things like mental health, you say, what do you mean mental health now? What do you mean by that? Well, we mean things like, let's say, anxiety. Let's talking about disorders. And what I mean, a disorder, it means that that person doesn't have the mechanism that I was talking about a little bit earlier, not fully intact. It's not working properly, not working fully. And is that possible? Because we're emotional beings, we have feelings. Is it possible that at a particular time that person is unable to get themselves out of feeling a little bit down, a little bit sad? That sadness will continue over a space of a couple of days. That may happen with a particular person. Another person just lasts for maybe a couple of hours, depending on the situation. So there may be others who a simple task that is in front of them for one person, another person, gets really anxious about it, gets really, really worried about the outcome. But then the person responds, says, Ya akhi, have tawakkul, have trust in Allah. Allah will take care of your affairs. That person has the right response. That person has the right approach. And inshallah ta'ala, if they're ever faced with such a situation, they will get through it like that, inshallah ta'ala. Allah Azza will help them. But then there are other people who are unable to think like that. It doesn't mean that they have a lack of iman. It doesn't mean that they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it means that they have a real challenge. So things like depression and anxiety and these disorders, phobias, OCD. And when I say OCD, what do you mean by that? Like a compulsive disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder. Well, what's that about? Well, you may come across people, when they make wudu, they're making wudu many, many times. Did I get this part wet or not? So they do it a number of times. Now, we don't just want to relegate that to some form of medical diagnosis and to remove the fact that the shaitan, without any doubt, can be the reason or the cause why the person's involved in this repetitive behavior. Because no doubt that may be the case, but there's an overlap. There is an overlap, and they may be, of course, it could be all the source for all of those. But nonetheless, it's an issue that has to be dealt with, has to be spoken about, and has to be admitted that as Muslims, we can be affected by such disorders. Or a person's feelings may be going through such a really low period that a Muslim can face that. Depression? Does this mean that they have forsaken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that the mechanism, if you like, in simple terms, and of course a psychologist would be better placed than I to discuss these things, but in simple terms for us to understand, I guess, that person doesn't have it within them, that mechanism, for them to get out of the cycle of feeling down. They're unable to see the light at the end of the tunnel, even though it's very simple for another person to say, yeah, it's very easy, it's very logical, do this, and you'll be fine. Establish your prayer, make dua, and it'll be fine. Which probably is a great answer, it's a beautiful answer, but that person for whatever reason, not because he believes it ain't true, isn't able to visualize that because they feel so down, because they're affected by so many other things. They're being overwhelmed with their feelings, and we all have feelings. There are some who are able to control their feelings in a better way than others. That's something we can all agree. A person, again, I'll break it down further. Some people are able to control their anger more and better than others. That's a reality. No one will disagree with that. So if it is the case in terms of emotions that some are able to control their anger better than others, then this can impact all feelings that we have. Not just anger, but times of sadness. Some people are able to deal with sadness better than others. So this is an absolute reality for all of us. And if you look at statistics, for example, in different places around the world, in England, for example, you find that, you know, in every 100 people, there are 8% of people who are afflicted by mixed anxiety and depression. 8 out of every 100. Or, for example, some other generalized anxiety order, 6% of people. Or, for example, PTSD. These are, you know, medical terms that they use. Post-traumatic distress disorders, 4 in every 100 people, 4% of people. Absolute just depression, 3% of people. And OCD, 1 in every 100 people. Panic disorders, 1% of people. So these are people who have been diagnosed that they have these types of disorders. And so therefore, it's not something we will, as Muslims, we are Muslim community, we're not immune to these things. People can be absolutely affected by these issues, and therefore, as a community, we should be and try our best to deal with them, and not just, you know, put it under the carpet. That maybe a member of our community has one of their family members, you know, may Allah Azrael protect us from that, they're suffering from depression, but it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I don't want to tell anyone from the congregation that my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, so they're suffering from depression. Because the common conclusion from most people is what? Weak iman. Just trust in Allah. It's a very simple way of approaching it and not dealing with the actual problem. And so therefore, when we speak about Surah Al-Duha, this is an example for us to understand that we as human beings have emotions, and our emotions can go up, our emotions can go down, and we have a unique and an amazing example of, if you like, an engagement between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why it's so important for us to learn about the Quran. I mean, a chapter in Surah, in Juz Amma, something we may recite quite frequently, our children, maybe if they're doing some form of hifz, that Surah Duha will be very close to the beginning of their journey on the memorization of the Quran. It's a chapter, we all know about it. But how many of us really know the dialogue, the meanings of these chapters, when it was revealed, concerning what? And it is a real eye-opener in the field, if you like, or the subject of, amongst, of course, many subjects and benefits that we can take from the surah, which inshallah ta'ala will go through some of those, but to do with mental health, believe it or not, to deal with one's emotions and feelings. So this particular chapter is a Makki surah, meaning that it was revealed at the beginning of the revelation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not towards the end, right at the beginning. And we can see, subhanallah, how Allah Azza wa Jal reveals verses and gives us angles. If we try to just extract, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, do they not try and ponder over the meanings of the Qur'an? And you think, subhanallah, how subtle and how beautiful and how amazing these verses, if we just look at it in that light, how it can impact us. So here you find a narration which is narrated by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, by Jundub radiallahu anhu. There was a time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became quite ill, quite sick. And it was the practice of the Prophet alayhi wasallam in his early time as a Nabi would pray every single night. But he was so ill, he was unable to pray. And this happened for a number of nights. This news, of course, is big news. your prophet is no longer praying in the night prayer. Bear in mind, this is before the five daily prayers. The five daily prayers was, of course, was obligated on the Isra wal Mi'raj. So this is way before that. So when this news got out, some of the idolatrous, and in one particular woman, she said, she addressed, he said, "Oh Muhammad, I think that your devil has finally left you." Because in another narration, it also states that there was a gap in revelation, that he did not stand up in prayer anymore. That's what they thought. And accompanied with the fact that, as we all know, that the Prophet ﷺ was in the cave of the Hira, Jabal Nur, right? You may have seen it. And that the Prophet ﷺ had separated himself from his people. And he saw them idol worshipping and all forms of filth and shirk around the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wanted to keep himself away from that, and he went to Cave of Hira. The angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to him and revealed the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq. These first five verses. And then there was a short gap, and then there was Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, Qum Fa Anzir. Then there was a gap. There was a gap in the revelation, meaning that the Prophet ﷺ had realized that he had received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some verses came, first five verses, and then some verses from Surah Al-Muddathir, then a gap. How long? Some of the Mufassir and Ulama have said this ranged maybe a long time, maybe from 6 months, no revelation, maybe even more than that. Maybe even more than that. So therefore, the mushrikun started to mock and make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your Lord that you claim has forsaken you. The devil that was with you has now run away. You have no value. This was the talk of the town in Makkah amongst the mushrikun. Because it was known amongst some that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received some message. There was an open preaching. At the start, there wasn't open preaching, but some news had got out. So they started to mock and make fun of the Prophet ﷺ. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. And the trials and tribulations that every single one of us that will go through, because we live it day by day, we don't see the outcome. We don't see what we're going to be like in one day or 1 week or one month. We can't see that. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge of our existence and how we behave and how we will react and what we will say and what we will do, who we will consult and how, everything. But because we're living day by day, sometimes our vision and our interpretation or what we think is going to happen, we think it's the end. We think, I can't deal with this, I can't cope with this. Not knowing that quite possibly in the month's time, that you will have gained lots of strength. Allah Azza wa Jalla will have given you the strength to get through the situation. Your reaction in a month's time is not going to be the same that it is now. But you can't see that. You can only see the moment that you are living in. And because maybe you're feeling so much pain, because you're feeling so sad, because you're feeling this is such a big trial, that you feel that there's no way out. I can't get out of this. I'm absolutely flattened. All you can see is that where you want to go. Because one point in time, imagine yourself, you're on top of the mountain and everything is fine. And then something happens and that you're at the bottom of the mountain. And all you can see is that I need to get back up to the top of the mountain. But for me to get back up there, how long is that going to take? It just seems an impossibility. Not really kind of realizing or thinking that you didn't, in the first place, get to the top of the mountain at the click of a finger. But that was a journey through your life to reach that place and to remain there. Similarly, for you to get back there is also a journey. And that you need to take step by step to get back to that place. But you don't see that. You just see yourself needing to be back right at that top as you were yesterday, before that trial afflicted you. You need to be right there, right now. And it's impossible for you to be back right there, right now. So, when we look at this particular surah and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tried from the very start of the call, from the very start that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was receiving revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And we find in this surah how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a soothing, beautiful answer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But not before that the Prophet alayhi wasallam was feeling very emotional about the long gap between the revelation. Just as you and I may at times think that I'm making dua all the time and my du'as are not being accepted, that you think I'm a bad slave, I'm a bad servant, I'm a sinner, no hope for me. So many things that go through your mind. Why is this not happening for me? So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was receiving words from the mushrikun, Muhammad's Lord has abandoned him, Muhammad's devil has left him, no more revelation for him, this was a flash in the pan, no more, not from one, not from two, from all the people who saw him would mock him, alayhi salatu wasalam. No doubt, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was affected deeply by these comments. Any human being would. And the fact that the Prophet alayhi salam was a human being, yuha ilay, but of course he was divinely inspired, Allah Jalla wa'ala gave him revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's chosen over mankind, but nonetheless was a human being and had human emotions. So therefore this particular chapter is a beautiful answer in response to what was being said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So a time of one of the lowest times, one could say, Allahu A'lam, one of the lowest times, the fact that there's a long gap, no revelation. Can you imagine the elation, the happiness, the fact that the Prophet ﷺ would be feeling chosen as a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to receive the kalam of Allah jalla wa ala, the elation and the happiness that he ﷺ would have felt. Of course, we will never have that, but try to imagine that beautiful feeling that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had, only for that to come to an end, it seemed at least. Not one day, not one week, months are passing. What happened? What would go through one's mind in that position? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. So when you translate quite simply, وَالضُّحَى, by the morning brightness. وَالضُّحَى is a time of day. You may have heard of the duha prayer. Or you may have heard it as Salatul Awwabin. Or you may have heard it as the Ishraq prayer. It has a number of names. Now, first and foremost, when is Ad-Duha? It is a time in the day. And it is after the sun has risen. At a particular time, if you was to see the sun rise above the horizon, Qayd Rumh, the distance of a spear. If you was to put a spear in the ground, and you look along the horizon, the sun has risen, the tip of the sun has raised above that spear. This is the beginning time for you to offer prayer. The time for prohibition is now over. As you know, that after Salatul Fajr, there's no prayer, right? There's no prayer after Fajr until the sun has risen. That is the specific time. So after this time, when the sun has risen, at this moment is called Duha, early morning. It is not a blazing sun. Even in the hot countries in Arabia, the sun is not at its hottest at this particular time. In fact, throughout the day, it's the coolest time of the day when the sun is up. And until just maybe 10 or 15 minutes before Salat al-Dhuhr, this duration is called Duha. So it has been translated by the morning brightness. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by and makes an oath by this particular time, as Allah jalla wa ala did in other chapters. Wal fajr, wal asr, by these times of fajr, of course, the time, and asr meaning al waqt, the time itself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by it because of its importance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by ad-duha. And it is, if you like, after, because the next chapter is what? Wal layli idha saja. And when the night has grown still. The previous chapter is like what? Who knows the previous chapter of Duha? Surah Al-Layl. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. In that chapter, the night is mentioned first, and then the day. وَاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ This chapter is the opposite way round. وَالضُّحَى mentions the daytime. And then وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى Then the nighttime. So here, if we can take an example of the, of course, the night previous was dark. And then the sun appears. There's brightness. There's a glowing. It's a time for harakah. It's a time for people to seek their sustenance. It's a time for people to seek their rizq. It's a time where people have awoken up. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you like, is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that after that pause of nothing happening, that the resumption and the continuation of wahi now is like the duha time. It is like the rising of the sun to you. Where it was previously dark, nothing happening, now is a time that there is light and that the revelation will continue being revealed to you. So a parallel is drawn here with the revelation coming down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى Now Allah Jalla wa'ala makes an oath by the night when it is still. And both of these times are important. They are complete opposites, as I mentioned, to one another. And it could be, if you like, the complete opposites of one's emotions. Not only the fact that the wahi is now resuming, but one's feelings. Where there was darkness, not so much happening, and now there is light. There was no revelation, and now the continuation of the revelation. Now, what I'm mentioning to you, because a person may argue, who told you this? Where did you get that from? This is from your pocket. Is this hadith? Well, of course, these are taken from the Mufassirun. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ Do they not ponder over the meanings of the Qur'an? Are these things that we are saying here, if you like, are they mukhalif? Are they, first of all, we're not claiming their wahi. We're not claiming its revelation. But are these, if you like, infractions or something that can be benefited from these verses, if you like? Are they sound extracted ponderings over? Are they sound, if you like? You can say, yeah, absolutely, they're sound. We can compare, if you like, what happened and how Allah Azza wa Jalla is describing the situation. Wallahu a'alam. Absolutely, Allah knows best. But these are things that the Mufassirun have extracted and taken from these particular verses of the Qur'an. So the fact is that at times where there is a complete stoppage of what you think is going to happen, then we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that good will come out of that. So we develop sabr. We develop patience. And you don't develop patience, and people's threshold or strength of patience is different. Some people have more patience than others. Others, the slightest of thing, got no patience. I'm complaining. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Okay, maybe others, they're a little bit more, they can relax, they can be patient and see what the outcome is going to be. So we all differ in our amount of patience. And at times we have to go through difficulties and hardships to build up the threshold, to build up the sabr that Allah Azza wa Jalla is testing us with. If life was always easy, you'd never build up sabr. Everything is happy, you're always easy. Maybe you would even forget to be grateful. So therefore, in these tests and trials that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to us, we build up the ability to know that what it is like to have and what it is like not to have. How to be patient and to be grateful in that what Allah Jalla wa Ala has given to you. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no doubt is revealing these beautiful ayat to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of duha وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى That the claim of the mushrikun was what? That your Lord or whoever you claim has left you. So مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ That your Lord has not forsaken you, has not left you, وَمَا قَلَى And does not hate you. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning two things to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rabbuka. And this is addressing who? This is addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, no doubt. So the claim of the kuffar that your Lord has left you. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka. Your Lord has not left you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for us. Nor does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate you in any way. Whatever thoughts that may have passed your mind to think about that you have done something wrong, that you are falling short. In fact, because the word, you know, wada', you know tawaf al-wada', when you perform hajj, you perform tawaf al-wada', the farewell tawaf. So the word wada' means to say farewell, goodbye, goodbye. So this verse is, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ, that your Lord did not say farewell to you, did not leave you alone, saying goodbye to you. And nor does He subhanahu wa ta'ala hate you. Rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يُحِبُّ الْعِبَادِ. But rather Allah tabarak wa ta'ala loves His servants. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is consoling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with the low mood that he had concerning that particular situation of what they were saying about him. And no doubt, in receiving revelation, the Prophet is elated to receive and happy to receive the wahi and the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And the future, or the hereafter, is better for you than the past. So here Allah Azza wa Jal is telling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that what is in store for you, whether the meaning of the verse is that what is going to happen to you in the remaining part of your life in this dunya, or literally the akhirah, the in the hereafter, after this worldly life, both of them, that they will be better for you than that what has gone past. And this gives us the important benefit of to look forward and not to think backwards and to think about what you should have done and what you could have done. فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that the word if I had done will open the doors and the works of shaitan. That you're looking back thinking that somehow you could have changed your situation. What was decreed to be was always going to be like that. You can't change it. That was your decision and that was Allah Jalla wa'ala's will. So here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam what is in store for you, no doubt in the dunya and no doubt in the akhirah, is better for you than that what happened in the past. The situation will only get better. And just a little waqfa here now, that a person who's going through such a difficulty with regards to their emotions, you just jumping to the end game concerning that person who may be really suffering from a low mood, not diagnosing that person to be in a state of depression or medical depression, the person is really low and they've been feeling like this not for a couple of hours, days, maybe weeks, maybe months. It's not just simple for you to turn up and say, Ya Akhi, 1, 2, 3, and Bismillah, take your honey and go, you'll be okay. Take your asal and Bismillah. Sometimes it doesn't work like this. Sometimes you need to explain and break things down. Because imagine now, as I said to you, the mechanism for them to get out of the place that they're in, because simply if you ask them, are you happy how you're feeling? They will say, no, I don't feel happy. Would you like to get out of this? I would like to get out of it, but I don't know how. They can't see a way out. That's the point. And it can become very frustrating for the one who feels it's very easy to get out of it. But why? Why do you feel like this? I've told you what to do. Just do it. And it can become very frustrating. Not only for the one talking, but for the one who's in that situation. Because they say, you're making it sound so easy. And I just don't know how you make it so easy. Make it sound so easy. And again, it's good to draw parallels. You know, when I first became Muslim and I saw there was a revert, mashallah, he was speaking Arabic fluently. And I was amazed. I said, how do you speak like that? Like it's your mother tongue. Not just he was speaking, but he had the accent as well. The accent of like, a person who was an Arab. I was like, I don't think I'll ever do that. I can't see how I'm reaching that. Or you may meet somebody who has gone through years of study and think, how have you done that? There is no mustahil with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no impossible with Allah azza wa jal. But the point is that reading these ayat, you can see how Allah azza wa jal is breaking the situation down. Breaking the situation down. And what is the conversation? The conversation is, if you like, the khitab al-ilahi, this divine address from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is, and Allah Azza wa Jalla makes an oath by, وَالْضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى, by the morning in its brightness and the stillness of the night, two opposites for you to think about, that your Lord has not left you, that you are not alone, you're not having no help, then that what is going to come in the future will be better than the past, meaning you look forward, you don't look back. The regrets, the things that happened in the past, is not going to change that. So therefore, only what that is in the future can be positive. So when a person is feeling such a low mood, we need to constantly focus on what? Focus on the future. Because a person with such a low mood will always want to go in reverse and look backwards. Their natural reaction is to think about what happened in the past. Look what this happened, and I couldn't do it then, and I couldn't do it then, and I can't do it now, and I'll never be able to do it. They're constantly looking back in the past. This verse is telling us, Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us, look forward. Look forward, don't look back. What happens now, if you feel that you're at rock bottom, you're flat out, me can't get any worse. You can't feel any lower. What will happen in the future will always be better for you. So therefore, that the future, and that what happens in the future, بإذن الله تعالى, will be better for you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the next verse, which is, if you like, a seal, an absolute, what Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to give to you. وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Now, if you can split this ayah into two parts. وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to give to you. وَلْيُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ, your Lord is going to give to you. Now, the word wa is and. لَسَوْفَ. This la is emphasis. Emphasis. An example in the Arabic. So you say to somebody, are you going to visit me? Come to my house. And you say to them, Sawfa azuruk. Sawfa azuruk. I will later on visit you. Sawfa means that I will do something. Azuruk means I will visit you. When you say to them, La sawfa, it means absolutely I will visit you. Not the inshallah one. La sawfa. La sawfa. I will indeed visit you. This la. Emphasis. The inshallah, you know, the one that you maybe get is half-half. Although the word inshallah can mean absolute certainty as well. So, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ, that you're indeed, your Lord will give to you. And if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and it doesn't mention Allah here, by the way. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions one of his names, رَبُّكَ. And this is what is mentioned in the surah, رَبُّكَ. And we think about the word Rabb, even in Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabb Alameen. Rabb. What do we understand from the word Ismu Rabb? Rabb, meaning the Lord, okay? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the Khaliq. From what we mean that Allah is the Rabb, He is the Khaliq, He is the Creator. And that He is Al-Malik, and that He is the owner. And that He is Mudabbirul Amr, and He is the controller of the affairs of the universe. So when we say Allah is Rabb, Rabbul Alameen, Rabb, He is the creator, He is the one who is the owner, He is the one who is in control, wa al-Raziq, you can add a fourth one, and He is the sustainer of all of that. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and your Lord, the creator, the owner of everything that's in the universe, and the one who's in control of everything, and the provider of everything, He will give to you. That would be enough. But the verse doesn't end there. The verse says, فَتَرْضَى. And that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to you, because every single day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to you and I. Every single day. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you another day, another life. Another day of life, another day to breathe, another day to see your children, another day of work. Allah Azza wa Jalla is constantly giving to you. every single day. Allah Azza wa Jalla guided you, gave that hidayah to you. But on top of that, how many of us show, and the word rida means contentment, that you're content with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you, regardless of the amount. Because you may find a person who has been given wealth upon wealth upon wealth and so much, and there's no contentment. They're not content. So therefore, all that wealth that has been given to them serves to burn them. Of course, metaphorically. It means that there's no satisfaction or contentment with what they want. They want more. They want the newest. They don't want the old. They need to hoard. They need to protect. There's no contentment with what they have. But here Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a promise. I will give to you and I promise you will be content. Meaning if you are content, mean you are grateful. If you are content, you're grateful. So this is an amazing blessing that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala gave to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Surah Al-Layl, the chapter before, what does it mention? Wala sawfa yarda. The last verse in the chapter, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, and that he will surely be pleased. And if you look at the previous verses, there are certain sifat, certain characteristics, but that person will surely be pleased. They will be happy, they will be content. And specifically when we translate the word رِضَى, when you say رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, we say that may Allah be pleased with him, right? Pleased with. Or may Allah be pleased with her, radiyallahu anha. The word rida means to be content with, happy with, satisfied with. And of course, from us, our perspective, that is us being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, and I will give to you, indeed and surely, I will give to you, your Lord will give to you, and you will be content. Showing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be grateful. Now, what was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wealth, power, authority, the jewels and gold and silver? No. Ultimately, fulfilling his responsibility, fulfilling his role as Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to you, will give you. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam receive? Al-Kawthar. One of the rivers in Jannah. Maqam al-Mahmood, the praised station in the hereafter. Al-Shafa'at al-Uzma, the great intercession. Allah Jalla wa Ala blessed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like nobody else. Because he was deserving like nobody else. And that his reward, and those things that I mentioned to you, how many of them are in the dunya? None of those are in the dunya. There's no kawthar in the dunya for us. There was no, rather the Prophet says, there's no kawthar or shafa'a that was done for, all of that is for the akhirah. Not to say that the Prophet ﷺ didn't receive anything in this life. There was a fulfillment and a completion of the risala of delivering the message. And on the day of Arafah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam adina, this day I have perfected your religion, completed my favor upon you, and named Islam as your religion. That verse was revealed when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj, the only Hajj in his life alayhi salatu wasalam. After all this was said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Ala hal ballaght? Have I not fulfilled what I was supposed to do? On that day, he, alayhi salam, addressed the 110,000 of the Sahaba, have I not fulfilled my job? My responsibility has been delivered to you. فَلْيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبِ. And let the one who is present, let him inform the one who is not here. So the Prophet, alayhi salam, on this blessed day, knew that he had fulfilled his job, his responsibility. And the Arabian Peninsula was free from idolatry, the idol of the worship of idols, that the house of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala was now free from that, that people would now be able to perform their Hajj and their Umrah and live there in peace. This is a sanctified and pure place. Nothing would ever change that again. That the job of the Prophet ﷺ had been complete. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be given and that he would be content with that. Then the type of verse that is mentioned now after Allah Jalla wa'ala fulfilling and reminding the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the change that is about to occur. So here Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did he not find you an orphan and give you shelter? Did not Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala find you as a yatim? And what is a yatim? A yatim is one who their father dies while they are still a young child. They are called a yatim. The mother may be alive, but the father died. They are called a yatim. And as we know, that the father of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he passed away before he was born. So the type of verse that is mentioned now, and there's three things that are mentioned. Three reminders to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Three reminders. أَلَمْ يَجِدِكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Were you not an orphan and you were looked after? Now an orphan is subject to the most forms of oppression, is one of the most vulnerable people in society. Who will care for that orphan or a young child the most, the mother and father? If they are not present, then that young child is extremely vulnerable. Yes, there may be other family members, inshallah ta'ala, to look after them, but there is an increase of vulnerability concerning that child, even though that the other family members have their own children. And they will try their best, but no one will do their best for them like the mother and father. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he, how old is he here? 40 plus in his age, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Were you not a yatim, an orphan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sheltered you, protected you? Does this not need an answer? It is a question that doesn't need an answer. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدًا. And that you were a person who were, if you want to translate it as dal, dala means misguided, right? Now, at the end of Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. The dalin, in the understanding of the, in this verse, means that those people who have no ilm, no knowledge, and act upon that ignorance. Okay? So we seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being a dalin, a misguided person. So what is the meaning of dal here? This is key and important for us. If a person doesn't understand, the person might say, well, what was the Prophet upon? Of course, the meaning here, and as we know, that the Prophet never engaged and was protected and preserved by Allah Jalla wa Ala from the moment he came on this earth, never to prostrate or to worship any sanam, any idol, to engage in any what we consider as haram, and any of the filth that was available in the society. The Prophet was protected from that from birth. He never engaged in such practice. But as we know, that in the cave of Hira, that he had become detached from his people. He'd become disenfranchised by what his people were doing, and separated himself from them, and went to the cave of Hira, took some food and whatever provisions he needed, and would stay there as long as that would last him. And then he'd come back and he'd go again. And as Al-Bukhari mentions in the hadith of Aisha, radiallahu anha, كان يتحنثو, that he would be worshipping and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was seeking the truth, to know the truth, what the truth that was known to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, were you not that person who was, if you like, searching, not knowing where? Fahada. And that you were guided. And how were you guided? You received the revelation itself. So were you not in that state, and then Allah azza wa jal guided you again? It's another question that doesn't need an answer. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And that you were, if you like, in a state of some poverty. You weren't rich. فَأَغْنَى. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriched you. So these are three reminders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All three rhetorical questions we don't need an answer for. Were you not an orphan and you were looked after, sheltered? Were you not a person not really knowing where to go and then you were guided? Were you not a person who was in a very, very difficult position in terms of what you had in worldly affairs, and Allah Azza wa Jalla enriched you. Again, this is a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, in the previous verses, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you all of these things. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget your origins. Likewise for us, that, oh, I'm going through a very difficult time now. Very difficult time. And then maybe some good news comes to you, you're going to get out of it. And it's very easy for us to become ungrateful and forget maybe the difficulties that I was going through. And how, as human beings, how the situation can change in a matter of seconds. I'll give you an example. So, you know when you're fasting and maybe you're working really hard, and maybe not so much now, a few years ago when Ramadan was in the middle of the summer, and maybe one particular day, maybe you missed your suhoor, okay, and you are so thirsty. You are so thirsty. You say, I have never felt thirst like this in my life. Maybe that one time that's happened to you in your life, what I would do to have some drink now. You see, I'm so thirsty. And then the adhan of Salat al-Maghrib goes. You take a few sips. It's like you were never thirsty in your life. It's like nothing. Nothing at all. It's how, as human beings, our situation can change just like that. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning that وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to give to you and you will be content. A promise from Allah Azza wa Jalla, something that we don't have that. The Prophet hasn't received that. And then there's three reminders. Remember those things. Remember where you were. And again for us, at times, you know, the tide may change for us. But again, to take stock of the journey that we have come from, where we have come from, the trials and tribulations, and the human being that you have been molded into. Don't forget that. And because, inshallah ta'ala, now that things are going to only get better. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, that what is coming now in the future is going to be better than that what happened in the past. It's only going to get better. Regardless of what happens, the situation will only improve. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning three things, don't forget the origin of where you came from and what happened. So therefore, have your feet on the ground. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. As for the orphan, not that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ever do that, and is free from that. But never do wrong to an orphan. Never do wrong to an orphan. This is advice to us. It's not as though that this surah is, in terms of benefit, is only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We take direct benefit from it, as we are doing now. Never oppress or do wrong to the most vulnerable in the society, where you know things are only going to get better. Maybe you've come in suddenly, mashallah, big inheritance. Your business, suddenly, mashallah, loads of money. Therefore, the yatim, those who are vulnerable, don't turn them away. Don't oppress them and don't wrong them. Rather, and of course, in many other verses, we are obliged. Ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannati hakadha. As the Prophet ﷺ said, I and the one who looks after the yatim will be like this in paradise. So that is the first. So there were three reminders, three rhetorical questions. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three things as well. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. As for the orphan and the most vulnerable, don't turn them away and don't oppress them. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And as for السائل, who's the سائل? The one who's asking. The one who is asking, requesting, there could be anyone. Don't rebuke them, turn them away. I'm busy now. Remember where you came from. Remember the dark times, the difficult times that you had. You had a one-bedroom house, you had a two-bedroom house. Your business, mashallah, is now going very well. When you're in your teens or early 20s, now you look at yourself in your 40s and 50s. The house that you had then, the house that you have now. Mashallah, Allahumma barik. Don't forget where you came from. So these people who are in need, and maybe use that person who was in need 20 or 30 years ago, don't forget that. Keep your feet on the ground. As for those people who are asking, don't turn them away. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Because remember, the blessings that have come to you, mention them. The blessings like what? Very simple things. Your sight, your ability to work, your ability to talk. The simple things that maybe none of us are even thinking about. نِعْمَةُ الْهِدَايَةِ. And this, this is not, of course, we don't want to cross the boundary in saying, look what I've got. This verse is telling me the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should be vocal with them. Fahaddith. I have this. Allah gave me this. Allah gave me that. Allah azza wa jal gives many things to many of the creation. And that serves only to increase them in adab in the akhirah. That only serves to increase them in their punishment in the hereafter. So don't be deceived by what you think that you have accumulated, or what you think that you have been given, and that is some form of qubul, that is some form of acceptance. We know that the Prophet ﷺ says that مَنْ يَرِدِ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah Azza wa Jalla wants good for a servant, then what? He'd give him understanding of the deen. وَمَنْ يَرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْ. And if, in another hadith, if Allah Azza wa Jalla wants good for a servant, He will test him. And tests are what? Tests could come in the form of khayri wa shar, in the forms of goodness